Well, it's time to start our evening service. Why don't you come on in here? And we're going to begin with a couple of songs. Let's stand together as we sing, "O Church, Arise." To rage against the captor, and with a sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the price for which he died, an inheritance of the Son of God is stricken, then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day, every eye and heart shall see. Their calls and hunger for the day.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we do acknowledge you to be the fount of every blessing. We thank you that you have flooded our lives with good, that you are good and you do good. Father, we thank you most of all for Christ and for the relationship that we have with you as Father through him. But Father, we also thank you tonight especially for the gift of the church. Lord, we thank you that in your wisdom you created the church, outposts around this planet of the kingdom of your Son. Lord, we thank you for this church and for, Lord, what you have done here over the years and even over this last year. And tonight we gather not to celebrate our accomplishments, but to celebrate yours. Lord, to acknowledge that you are the fount of every blessing. And I pray that you would receive our praise even as we rehearse your goodness. Lord, we intend this evening to be to the exaltation of your good and great name and the exaltation of your Son, who is the head of the church. We pray that that would be the end result of our time together. Fill our hearts with true praise and thanksgiving. We offer this evening to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back. Trust you have had a good Lord's Day already. It was a great morning this morning, worshiping together, singing and studying the Word of God. I know across the campus, busy in classes and children's classrooms and fellowship everywhere. So just a great day. Again, you just see the Lord's wisdom. Let me say a special welcome if you're here tonight as our guest. You have happened on an unusual night. Once a year, we have a kind of business meeting. It's not really a business meeting. It's more of a celebration of what the Lord has accomplished this last year and an opportunity to look to the year before us. So we welcome you. Trust you'll enjoy your time with us, but know you're welcome back on our normal Sunday evening services where we study the Word together and sing together as we have already, but we're glad you're here this evening. Well, as I mentioned, it is a special night for us, our annual meeting, and it is one of my favorite evenings because it does remind us of the Lord's faithfulness to this congregation. As we begin our time this evening, there are several elders who will be a part, not all of them because there aren't enough slots in the order of service for all the elders to be a part, but some of the elders will be participating. And this evening, I've asked Arnold Marquez to come and kick off our time with scripture reading and prayer. Arnold.
As we get ready to recount God's faithfulness, my mind was drawn to David's prayer of thanksgiving in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. So this is such a precious prayer, not only to a faithful God, but really a prayer of thanksgiving. Listen to what David says. Verse 10, he says, "So David blessed the Lord in the sight of the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." And what a wonderful reflection of who God is and how much we need of him, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, you are great. You're wonderful. We exalt your name today, Lord, because you are the one whom we just trust and belong to. Thank you, Lord, because you describe yourself in your word in such a majestic and glorious way. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you are establishing your church. We thank you for Countryside, such a wonderful place that you have established. We thank you for the people that you are bringing. We thank you for the way that you work in and through your people. We thank you, Father, for their giving and their using of their giftedness in this church. Father, this is all your work. Thank you, Father. And as we recount the blessings of this year, I pray that our hearts would be encouraged, joyful, and also humble in the way that we see how you work in this church and all the things that you have accomplished. I pray for this evening, and we entrust the reports and the presentations to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I believe we have a video that we're going to play, and thank you for all the work that has been done to put this together.
I'm Eduardo Izquierdo, and I'm here with my wife, Valeria. We have three children, Gabriel, Mariana, and Mariel.
Thank you for the joy to know that there is a body of believers praying for us. Our time during VBS in summer of this past year, it was just an amazing experience for us as a family, for our kids, the support, the enthusiasm, the joy of those kids, and the love of the leadership for the next generation is very clear, and it models and provides encouragement and also a direction for us as leaders in our country. So thank you for modeling, for serving, for setting an example, and for being there for us in everything. So we just want to say, once again, thank you. Gracias. Yes.
trust in when you find yourself in a situation like David? If you've ever gone through anything like that, who do you go to immediately in that moment? What do you think about? Do you want to go to somebody else? God is the one who provides protection, and apart from him, you have nothing.
Right now, I am calling for all of those that are unbelievers to see how awesome and wonderful Jesus is and to consider how hard-hearted they are. The effective calling is when they really come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Friends, in the darkest, hardest, moments of your lives when the circumstances seem as anti-God as they can possibly be, understand that in His supreme power, your sovereign God is working out His plan and your good in that mess.
God's primary requirement for a leader has always been the same. Who a man is on the inside is far more revealing than who a man is on the outside.
Marriage was not the primary reality that God was focused on in creating. In terms of what God intends, and why he made marriage, it's to point to and picture that greater reality of the gospel.
Things that trials are going to do is shake your faith in God. And as you go to God for wisdom to handle the trial that's shaking your faith, you've got to have unshakable trust in God.
And this heavenly focus isn't motivated by guilt, but by grace. Remembering what Christ has done for us in the past is doing in us presently and will do in us and for us in the future.
Son of God is, as it were, the Father's other self. He's one in essence with his Father, fully possessing the divine nature. And yet God demonstrates his own love toward us by sending that Son for our salvation.
Six and seven is my favorite statement about prayer, because there isn't a promise attached to the command to pray, but it does not promise that God will change the circumstances. It promises that God will do something in you, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus.
you're poor in spirit, if you recognize your spiritual bankruptcy and you have begged God to show you mercy, then right now, today, you already belong to His spiritual kingdom.
You have the same kind of precious faith as Peter and the other apostles and every other believer throughout history, but it's not because you are smarter than others. It's not because you searched for the truth more diligently than others. It's because of God's sovereign grace towards you. You received a faith of the same kind.
The difference between heaven and hell is righteousness. That needs to shape our understanding of the gospel and how we proclaim it. The reason people are condemned to eternal spiritual death is because they are without the righteousness that a holy God requires for fellowship with Him.
It's all by His grace, because He who seems to reject you, seems to be silent to you, seems to maybe even insult you and push you away, is doing it all to mature your faith and to draw you closer to Himself. That's the point.
There are blessings forfeited that needn't be forfeited. And there are blessings to be enjoyed that are going to cause you, look at what it says in verse 10, for the second causal conjunction, for let him who means to love life and see good days. Anybody here besides me want to love life and see good days?
Tell the Lord Jesus Christ you love Him. He loves to hear it. Tell Him you prefer Him before all other beloveds. He loves to hear you tell Him that you love Him.
And so the author's making the point that that one who is the God-man, who experienced all these things that you have experienced yet without sin, that one who's also fully God, it's Him who ministers on your behalf as your great high priest.
Let us, those who have received the promises, those who didn't just see them from afar, but those in whose context these promises of a better priesthood given to Christ, of a better kingship, of one who is the inaugurator of a better covenant and a better rest, as those who have been recipients, who see them up close, let us run with endurance.
Teaching is the systematic instruction in God's Word. Preaching is the attitude, disposition, or manner of the messenger. He is to speak, to announce, to teach as a herald, speaking with authority. Listen, preaching is not a conversation. It's not a discussion. It's not a coffee room chat. It's a declaration. It's a proclamation. It's an announcement from God.
Scriptures, again and again, talk about us offering our best for the Lord, striving for excellence. Again, we will not be perfect in this life, but that doesn't mean we get lazy in our efforts. We give maximum effort.
Oh, again, thanks to those who worked hard to put that video together. What a joy to look back on this past year, just a glimpse at all that the Lord has done in and through our church. Let's pray together and thank him for those realities. Our Father, we are overjoyed as we look back on this past year, on all that you have done both in our church and through our church. Lord, such a joy to think back to what you have accomplished and to the opportunities that you have provided. Lord, we're thankful for the next generation here at Countryside, thankful for the children and the youth, for those who serve faithfully week after week, instructing them in God's word, modeling what love for Christ looks like, and teaching them faithfully the scriptures which give the wisdom for salvation. And we just are grateful for even all that is taking place on our campus this evening, as so often there are those faithfully investing in them. And Lord, we thank you for the various opportunities that you have provided this past year for the saints to be equipped and to fellowship with one another. Lord, we're grateful for all the ministry that's taken place in informal ways in groups like our home fellowships and Titus II groups and men's events and Sunday school and our other adult ministries. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you've provided for our church to be a blessing to others, to reach out in our community through events like our Christmas concerts and the Countryside Fair and Operation Christmas Child and others. Lord, we pray that you would use our church, and we thank you for how you've used our church, not only to build up the body of Christ here, but to be a witness and a testimony in our community and around the world. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the word that you have allowed this past year. Thank you that you use the scriptures, the faithful teaching of your word, to shape our minds and hearts, to equip us to serve and for outreach, to help us to think carefully and rightly about you, to be spurred on to lives of worship and obedience. And we thank you for all those that you have gifted to teach in our church and for their faithfulness this past year, for those from outside our church that we were blessed by their ministry as well. And we thank you for the privilege it is to gather week after week to worship you. Thank you that as we gather to sing to you, we sing to one another and we spur each other on and we gather because you are worthy. And Lord, as we watch that video, as we think back to the various things that you have allowed this past year, we just respond by giving you praise. We are humbled to be a part of this church. We are humbled by the way you are using this body for the building up of one another into maturity in Christ and the way that you're using this body to be a blessing to others outside of our walls. Lord, we pray that as we continue to reflect on these things, that we would remember just the amazing grace that you have shown us in Christ and the joy that it is to be a part of the body. Lord, we know that the body is full of sinful people and there's been many trials and struggles this past year, but so much that you have given us to be thankful for, and we praise you for that work that you continue to do, and we entrust the rest of our evening to you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. It's good to see you guys here tonight. As you watched that video, you had to see how many people that the Lord used in the ministry that was done here. Well, what I'm going to give you is a finance report. Our finance chairman, Dwight Custis, is recovering from surgery. He's here tonight, but he asked me to pinch hit for him. What that video also showed was ministry needs to be funded. And this report kind of gives you an idea of how that funding took place and what funds were provided for our church. So when we look at the fiscal year, in the general fund income, there was actual giving of $9,638,440. We budgeted $7 million. So if you're really good at math in your head, you can see that our actual was $2,600,000 over our budget of $7 million. Think about that for a minute. That's staggering. This is what the Lord provided to our church, and I feel blessed to be part of the elder board here because we have the call to be faithful stewards with what our people bring in. And this is what the Lord provided our church. Our general fund expenditures were $7 million, which was a little over our budget of $7,090,000. But that was because as the year came on, we saw that we had these funds to work with. Well, when we budget, just so you know, we try to stay pretty conservative and allow the Lord what the additional funds are for projects that we hope to be able to do, but we don't budget for them because we don't want to presume upon the Lord. But when we get this kind of giving that we have the opportunity to invest, I want to give you some ideas of how these funds are able to be used. What a marvelous thing it is to be able to fund these kind of projects. A lot of them are on our campus, because if you looked at that video, you saw how much of our ministry is done here on this campus and what a beautiful tool it is, right? So this year, we're going to be able to, through the giving that we have, finish a remodel in the South Building to add another adult education classroom. As you know, a lot of our Sunday school classes are pretty full and we need some more space. We also bought a building over here at the Student Center that was older and needs continuing expense to keep it well maintained. And fortunately, we have those dollars and we continue to build that Student Center to be a better and better tool for ministry. We also have replaced lighting in Roots Hall. We replaced window and flashing, and we fixed some water leaks. So that's just on our campus. Yet, what we're also able to do, we put $800,000 into a general fund future budget that supports the other ministries on an ongoing basis, like the Word Unleashed, to fund additional seminary scholarships to our interns, to be able to do some additional help with our church plants. Matter of fact, I kind of give you a welcome from Dusty Burris. I was today at North Lake Bible Church where they had their groundbreaking ceremony. Some of y'all might have gone. And that came out of giving from this church. That seed came out of this church back in 2020. When the church was able to pay $500,000 to help buy some land out there that you couldn't touch today. But again, that's the generosity and the consistency that has come through our giving that allowed us to do the things we did this year. When we look at where our current fund balances are as of the end of our fiscal year, which is September 30th, 2025, you can see that our general fund had a $2,298,000 balance. We've actually increased that because of the size of our budget in order to provide more protection in the event if there is a downturn at any point. We have a benevolence fund of $187,000. You know, our benevolence fund, we'll look at in a minute, is how that's we've been able to use that. And then we have a designated fund of $2,847,000 of projects that are already on the books to be done. So our total fund balances right now are very healthy. At $5,660,000. Now, just to look a little bit more at what you're giving allowed to be done in the area of benevolence, is that we were able to help, of our own church families, 40-plus families, and we were able to use $223,000 to do that. Then we had missionary needs that came up. That's in addition to what we actually pay for to help the missionaries in their daily needs. There was also benevolence needs, $47,910 we were able to meet. We were able to give $36,000 to Children's Hunger Fund, $125,000 for disaster relief. As you remember, our Ukraine orphan ministry, the Hope House International, we were able to give $30,000 there. XL Ministries is our connection with that leadership training ministry. We were able to give $30,000 there. And then we helped Parker Bible Church with $15,000. And then in addition to that, we were able to give additional $143,000 for ministry benevolence. To give you an idea of some of the things we were able to do with ministry benevolence, we had two building funds for education projects, one in Lebanon and one in Chile that we gave for. the Sea Houstons, who are missionaries in the Fiji Islands, one of the things that they very much needed to help in reaching the churches and the people around them was a boat to go to the islands. Michael does a lot of ministry with pastors at these different islands, and we were able to get him a boat to be able to do that. I mean, it's just such a blessing to have a church that is faithful and giving, obedient, consistent, that then is able to increase the amount of ministry this church does in so many areas. Well, back in March of 2021, we actually had a loan balance of $9,169,000. Each year we've been knocking that loan balance down, and as of December 31st, 2025, our loan balance for the buildings that are on, all of the buildings, the children's building, this beautiful building we're in here, the remaining balance of that note as of 12/31/25 was $4,633,093. So pretty incredible finance report. I know when I look at this, I praise the Lord for what he's done in this church and the resources that he's given this church. So much so that I think we need to have someone come forward at this time and pray for that.
You know, it's an incredible privilege to be able to go to a perfect God as wretched sinners and pray. So let's do that now. Let's pray for a thanksgiving for God's provision to Countryside. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude and amazement, acknowledging your unfailing love and the abundant resources you so generously provide for our church family. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in meeting our every need spiritually, financially, materially. Thank you for the blessings that overflow into our ministries and outreach, equipping us to do the work you have called us to do. It is by your hand that we're able to serve and support and uplift those around us. We praise you, Lord, for every gift, for every service opportunity, for every resource that allows us to bring glory and honor to your holy name. We specifically thank you for the resources that you provided that allowed us to plant two more churches, North Lake Bible Church and Parker Bible Church, and to financially support our many missionaries across the globe. You've abundantly provided funds for us to be able to support other outreach ministries such as Children's Hunger Fund, the Hope House, and many projects that support our missionaries. Lord, your generous contributions provided through the humble generosity of those who worship here have allowed us to expand our campus and renovate various areas so that your word can be proclaimed to the ever-growing church family that you have assembled here. Father, give us wisdom, great wisdom, so that we may steward these resources wisely and with humility, always seeking to extend your love and grace. Help us, Father, to remember that all we have comes from you, and may our actions reflect your goodness and your generosity to all of God's children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, truly amazing, isn't it, what the Lord has done over this last year? I was sitting there watching the video thinking, you all should feel tired. Wow, so many things have happened, so much ministry. So grateful for the faithfulness that God has shown this church and for your faithfulness to serve. Well, it's my joy now to just give you a series of snapshots, sort of an exposure to what's gone on over this last year, and then we'll look a little bit to the year before us. I want to start, as I always do, with the leadership and staff. I'm grateful for those who help lead this church, and we are a gifted church in terms of the people God has raised up. I won't go through all of the leaders by name. I wanted these to be in the report so that those of you who are newer can go back and find this and be exposed to our leaders. We currently have 14 elders, and I'll mention the newest additions here in a moment. 14 elders. We have 9 pastoral staff members who are a part of our church. We have 16 deacons who serve faithfully in a variety of capacities. So the Lord has truly surrounded us with gifted men to help serve and lead this church. Here are the changes over the last year. We added an elder, Lance Burrows, and we're grateful for him and his role here at the church. Also added a deacon, Ryan Loudermilk. And in addition to those leaders, several were added to our staff. The amazingly gifted Nathan Ryland is the music ministry assistant. We benefit from him every week, and we're excited that the Lord has made that possible. Also, we had a staff member who left, and we're grateful that Jacob Garcia was able to become the database and IT administrator. We're grateful for Melinda Yarmolak and her role as an administrative assistant in youth. And then audio intern Aiden Dees, who's helping make all of this possible. We're grateful for these that the Lord has added to our leadership, both elders and deacons, as well as our staff. Let's move on to worship. Just to give you a little snapshot of our average weekly in-person attendance, you can see there that apart from COVID, when all of us were shut down for a time and attendance dropped because of sickness and other things, you can see the line, if you take that out, the line has just continued to consistently grow and at a healthy level through the years. We're averaging right at 2,000 on our weekly attendance here at the church, and so we're grateful for that. Here is a snapshot of that, the average attendance in various things. You can see the first, second, and third, if you're curious. There is more room in the first service, as you can see. So if you like more elbow room, you can make that your home. But it's I'm sure not a surprise to you, as it's not a surprise to me, that the attendance is fairly well balanced, but it leans first, second, and then third. And you can see the average total is up this last year by about 5%. As well, the adult Sunday school is up about 5%. And our evening service runs on average about 328. That number is a little bit deceptive. We were talking about this because we have hundreds of people in our Awana program, both kids, but also a large number, about 100 or so volunteers who have to be there to make that happen every Sunday night. Our live stream continues to reach around and benefit people. 150 broadcasts. 31,000 views, average devices connected weekly, about 600, and 22,000 hours streamed. And that's all over the world. 27 different countries stream our services. This isn't those that have been recorded. This is the live streaming. And so we're grateful for the fact that our service goes out and is a blessing to a lot of folks. Everywhere I travel in the world, somebody will come up to me and just say, you know, we were in a place where we didn't have a good church. We're grateful that we could tune in and worship with you. So we're glad for that too. As far as sermons, you know, over the last year, Sunday mornings, the focus has been Matthew 3, 1 to 5, 20, about 30 sermons in Matthew's gospel. And then there were several special messages for different reasons. And you can take a look at those. Sunday evenings, our pastoral staff led with the biblical biographies in the summer, as well as 1st and 2nd Peter. And then we had a number of guest speakers. You saw a number of them on the video. My own speaking responsibilities, and in addition to here, I spoke at a number of conferences, the Truth and Love Conference in Houston last January, the XL Conference here, a TMAI Symposium in Santa Clarita, California, the Shepherd's Conference. I did a seminar on preaching, a cessation conference in Marysville, Tennessee at Chris Reiser's church. Was with a team that went to the Czech Republic and spoke there in Kroměříž with one of our missionaries, and a great conference. Folks came in from Slovakia, as well as many there from the Czech Republic. Faithful Stewards Conference for pastors and church leaders that we host each year here. I spoke at Parker Bible Church in the anniversary celebration of a year at the Devoted Conference for single young adults in college, primarily college, in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and then a friend's 25th anniversary in Mustang, Oklahoma. So a lot of additional things to what I do here as well. As far as the ministries, let me just walk you through some of the age-graded ministries. This first one is really shocking, I think. This is age 2 and under. Just keep that in mind. Average children cared for, 243 a week. That's up 22%. You can see the peak number of 2 years and younger children cared for in a single week, 337. That required 150 volunteers, but you can see a ministry opportunity here. If you do math, you can see that there is a difference between the number of children cared for percentage increase and the number of volunteers increase. So we could certainly use your help there. And I don't know exactly what to do with this number, but we're up 53% in diapers changed. The only thing I can figure is some of you are feeding your children too much before you bring them to nursery. 61 babies born to CBC families in 2025. The church is growing in many different ways. But seriously, pray about and consider ministering in that. We're also so grateful for our special needs ministry. 15 children are cared for on average on Sunday mornings, 6 children and youth on Wednesday evenings, and there are 37 volunteers who serve in rotation in that ministry. It's a great blessing to those children and youth. It's a great blessing to their families, and it just is a great reflection of the heart of God, who loves and cares for those with special needs. Children 3 plus, you can see the average attendance there in Sunday school, about 320 kids in that category every Sunday. And then Awana, right at, as I mentioned, about 300 every Sunday night of the kids. And you can see on average 127 volunteers are necessary to make that happen. So we meet here, and more than is in this room or down in Awana every Sunday night. And then our children's choir continues to be a great blessing. You can see I'm so grateful for those who lead, and we benefit every year from their ministry. As far as our students, you see middle school is the first bar. Their average weekly attendance in middle school is 127. That's a lot of youth. And then high school, 166 on average. And then our Roots ministry averages about 100. And this year, they've seen a significant year-over-year increase, 22% increase in the Roots ministry. So we're grateful for the fact that the Lord's bringing folks into our church in those age categories. Some other specific age categories, our 128 ministry continues to thrive. You can see the total number as well as the average. And by the way, folks in that category, a number anyway, come from outside of our church and are benefited. Some of them eventually even become a part of our church through that ministry. Our Young Marrieds ministry, Beginnings, is healthy, and the Foundations group is, as you can see, huge, with averaging 130 participants in that Young Families ministry. I don't really like the word assimilation, but I don't know of a better one, so there you go. It sounds like, you know, something Borg-related is happening, but for those of you who are Star Trekkies, but that's not what this is. It means to bring people into the life of the church and to make them a part of things. And you can see we had almost 1,200 first-time visitors. Now, that just remember, a lot of those folks are folks from out of town who come and visit with you. And so understand that's some of that. We had 34 who attended the Countryside Connection last year who wanted to get to know some of the leadership. We added 141 new members, which was a 25% year-over-year increase. And, you know, it's not that we just encourage people who are going to be in this church to be members. You know, that's biblical, and that's what we try to encourage people to do. We were thrilled with the baptisms and the testimonies we heard last year. And as I mentioned, the weekly adult Sunday school attendance continues to grow with our worship center attendance. And we're thankful that people are taking that seriously and getting further exposure to the scripture. Our partners one-on-one has been such a huge blessing to this church. The ministry is in its 10th full year, and 1,153 have completed partners through our church. This past year, 122 completed, 24 leaders were trained, and right now 76 are enrolled in the partners program. We're grateful for those who provide leadership, Paul and Lori McCullum, and just the wonderful resource that is to our church family. Home fellowships in 25-26, studying Genesis 24-50, and our enrollment in that is up. You know, we understand, and the elders, when we put all the ministries in place, we understand that not everybody can do everything, but we want to be able to make sure that not only do we enjoy the corporate worship, not only do you have a chance to use your gifts, but you also have exposure to smaller group connections where you can practice the one another's of the New Testament, where you can build friendships and get to know other believers. And home fellowships, for many, is an important way that happens, and we're grateful. You can see 26 groups, 16 different communities, and two languages, both English and Spanish. The men's ministry includes these events. You can see the Institutes of Theology. This, we're going through what's called prolegomena. That's the introductory concepts, introduction to theology. And then bibliology. We did that in the spring. The average attendance has been about 225 men, and 100 of those are on the certificate track who are actually doing the work to get a certificate through that program. Saturday morning discipleship continues, one Saturday morning per month in the fall and spring. They studied Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges, a number of men's events, and I won't go through those. You saw them on the video. Women's ministry, the same. That ministry continues to thrive. Titus 2 Bible study is sort of the touchstone of that. 444 registered to participate in that, 21 small groups, and one Zoom group meeting monthly in area homes. You can see a number of women's events there, and you can see that they're all well attended. We're grateful for God's using those ministries. I'll just touch on one, the Christmas banquet. Speaker was Sarah Ramos, but they had 499 ladies who showed up, a significant increase because our Christmas banquet this year was held on the campus, allowing more ladies to attend. And so we're grateful for this ministry that's ongoing in the lives of our ladies. I mentioned this morning, and you saw it on the screen tonight, the Master's Seminary Dallas distance location. We now have, and these numbers are really amazing to me, we have 12 graduates. We've had 9 cohorts, including the fall of 2025, and we have 18 students currently enrolled in preparing for ministry. If you add the graduates to those enrolled, that means our church has had the privilege of helping to equip, or we are in the process of equipping, 30 men to pastor churches. And so that's a huge blessing to us, and we want to be a blessing to them. But thank you for your prayers, your encouragement. Many of you... you know these men, they sometimes teach your groups, they are involved in different ministries. Thank you for encouraging them and for allowing them to be a part of that process here at Countryside. Discipleship counseling training. We're grateful for Daniel Schubert and for his ministry. 15 are training for the counseling ministry team now. Many of you have benefited from the EQUIP seminars that you can see there, one in June and one in August. And then Daniel is actively involved as well in counseling, training, and equipping our missionaries in Chile. So we're expanding beyond here and just our own congregation, but we have an opportunity to help others in other places. And I think that will probably, as the Lord allows, that will probably continue to expand. You saw about our Countryside Conference last year on the essentials, those six essentials that you see there on the left-hand side, And we were grateful for the men who served us in that conference. Our conference, as you know, is coming up this year on the solas. We, years ago, some of you were here. In fact, just out of curiosity, this won't be a large number, but how many of you were at Countryside when we did the 5 years in a row, one each on one of the solas? Let me see your hands. Wow, it's a larger number than I expected. And so we just, it's been long enough now that we felt like we have so many newer folks in our church. We felt like it was important to reacquaint the newest generation of our church and frankly the newest generation of our kids even with what are those solas. And so instead of doing one a year like we did before, we're going to do all five of them this year. So we're excited about that. In 2025, just to give you an idea of what goes on around here that you may not know about or may not be as involved in, we hosted the XL Ministries Conference in February on missions. We, of course, had our own conference. Then we had the Faithful Stewards Conference. That is for pastors and church leaders, loving Christ by praying for his sheep in June. We do that every June. We have a conference for leaders. And then those Equip seminars in June and August for counseling. And then the Master's Fellowship regional gathering was here in November. Pastors and church leaders from across the central region came for that. International events, youth and VBS program at the India Pastors Conference in May. And then I went along with some others for the Czech Republic Conference in June that I mentioned a moment ago, the Mexico Pastors Conference, and then our Roots ministry also went to the Czech Republic and had a ministry trip as well. So excited about those opportunities the Lord gave us. As far as outreach, you know, there are a number of ways that we accomplish outreach. Those top three are ongoing. International Friends at Countryside, if you're here on a Thursday morning, you can come and see. That is a regular part of life in our church, reaching out to those who need to learn English as a second language, teaching them some basic things about the Christian faith, exposing them to the gospel. And then our local evangelism outreach, and then through the Word Unleashed. And then you see a number of special events that are a regular part of our church's year that are designed not only for our congregation, but to reach out to others as well. And then there were some special ones there at the bottom to last year, and there's some scheduled for this year as well. As far as missions, we now have 20 missionary families in 16 countries. And you'll see that some of them, their last names are there. Others, we don't include their last names. And you see the note at the bottom, some of those are omitted for the security of those who are serving in sensitive areas where we don't want all of this out publicly, what their last names are and where they're serving. But we're grateful. If you have questions about that, you can always go out here in the corner of the worship center just outside this room. You'll find our missionaries, and you can get more information there than I'm showing even on the screen. This past year, we added two new missionaries. We added the Armels. They live and minister in Colombia with their two children. Santiago pastors a growing church plant there and is also helping establish a TMAI training center to equip future pastors and church planters. We love partnering with guys that are helping to train pastors. And so we're grateful for Santiago and the ministry the Lord has given them there. And then there's another missionary we added that, again, you can see out on the wall, but M and JL, they are also serving in a sensitive area in the Middle East, and we're grateful that they are involved in pastoral training there in the Middle East. In addition, we have the Word Unleashed. That's the sort of media arm of the church's ministry. They take my sermons and cut them into two and make radio broadcasts in terms of radio. We're on KCBI here in Dallas with a very good audience. Even though it's 10:30 p.m., it is larger in audience at 10:30 p.m. than the other Christian station in our area is at 10:30 a.m. And so we're grateful to be there. It's the when I was in radio at Grace to You for many years, KCBI was known and still is the largest Christian teaching station in the country. And so we're grateful to be there, and we're grateful for their partnership. We have a sister station in Tyler, Texas, as well as in Waco and Temple. A couple of books came out this last year. You can see them there. Oh, by the way, I should mention, I'm excited. I mentioned earlier Nathan Ryland has joined our staff. And this isn't why he joined our staff, but he graciously agreed to write the melody and to do the arranging for a new hymn that I've been working on. And Lord willing, sometime in the not too distant future, we'll be singing it together, "Our Souls at Last Found Rest." And so we'll see. We'll see if what you think about that when it's available. The other ways that those materials are available are listed there, and some of you take advantage of that regularly. In terms of our campus, Brian referred to this, a number of facilities improvements, renovations to the chapel acoustics and the lighting. If you meet in the chapel, you appreciate that. That has been a problem for some time. Renovations to the Roots Chapel down in the Student Center building. HVAC units replaced in the chapel, the South Building, and the Student Center. I forget now, Steve Armstrong could tell us, but there are a ridiculous number of air conditioner units on this campus, and they have to be regularly replaced and serviced, so we're grateful for that. Landscape redesign to the edge of the Worship Center over here, and then the South Building classroom remodel, which wasn't a little thing. That allows us really to have two separate rooms there where people can come and go to the restroom and other things without interrupting one of the classrooms. So really an important part of the changes around here. Special thanks, as you can see there at the bottom, to our facilities custodial staff, to those who volunteer weekly to clean the sanctuary. There are a group of volunteers who do that, and we're thankful for their ministry. And then very grateful to Tony Moorhead and all of the landscape volunteers, Bart McKay, and those who make our campus beautiful. I mean, I don't know about you, but I hear from people all the time when they visit, "Wow, you have such a beautiful campus." And I always point them to these folks who make that happen. We're so grateful for them. Now, as we look ahead to this coming year, just a couple of things that I want to highlight for you. Some upcoming events. First of all, conferences here at our church. We again will host the XL Ministries Conference shortly in conjunction with our own SOLA Conference. We'll have the Faithful Stewards Conference this year. It's going to be on music, the legacy of music and worship. As you know, there are music wars among churches, and we just want to talk about biblically how to frame that discussion. The Equip Seminar will come this summer. And then in August, the Master Seminary has asked us as a church to host the MacArthur Center Preaching Workshop. So I and another man who's been a part of that will be teaching men who want to learn preaching. We'll be hosting that, Lord willing, in August. Some international events. We have a couple of our pastoral staff who are going to be headed to Nepal. We have a CBC team that will be serving at the India National Pastors Conference, and I'll be speaking there. I haven't finalized everything, but I think I have 12 sermons to prepare for that conference. So looking forward to being a part of that. There's another Czech Republic evangelism trip this summer, Mexico Pastors Conference in June, pastoral training in Madagascar in November. I'll be headed over for their pastor's conference with Fally. We're grateful to be able to support Fally and his ministry there. And so I'll be over there for their conference in November. And then we're looking at a Cities of Paul trip for our church members in 2027. Now, let me fill that out just a little bit. We're still working on details. In fact, I have a meeting this next week to hopefully begin to finalize that, but the elders have authorized this, and we are moving forward. The timing is likely in the late summer or fall of 2027. It takes time to get it, you know, all scheduled and on the books. The itinerary, it'll either be entirely land-based, that's one possibility, or it might be a cruise or a combination land and cruise. We're still, again, working on the details. Possible destinations, don't hold me to any one of these, but this would be the idea. This is what we'd love to do, is some of the cities connected with the ministry of the Apostle Paul, like Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, which is a magnificent city, one of my favorite places to go, Philippi, Thessaloniki, and Patmos. And there'll be probably some other places dropped in, but those would be some of the main things that we would look like we would look at. So watch for details and announcements that'll be forthcoming as that's all firmed up. But you can start saving your shekels and thinking about, you know, if you want to be a part of that, it'll be an exciting trip. Look forward to sort of retracing some of the places where Paul ministered. We're excited as a church that we get to be a part of church planting. You know, you read the Great Commission, and at the heart of the Great Commission is church planting. Why? Because only churches can baptize, and only churches can teach people to observe all that they were commanded by Christ. So at the very center of the Great Commission is churches. That's what happens in the book of Acts, and that's why as elders, we're committed to church planting. Here is just a timeline, a reminder of what has happened so far. You can see that in early 20, we were able to plant North Lake Bible Church, and I'll come back to that in a moment. In early 2025, we planted our second church, Parker Bible Church. Possibly, if there's a man and a place, a distance plant that is not in the DFW area, but I'll come back to this one in a moment. We're looking at early 2028 for a third DFW plant. And then as the Lord provides, the ones in blue, those are only as the Lord provides a man and a place. We'll take that as it comes. But the ones here in our area, we're excited about and have on the calendar. Just to remind you, so far we have planted, if you see the DFW map, you can see we've planted in Northlake and in the Weatherford-Aledo area. Now, Northlake Bible Church, when you look at 2025, they have 320 members. That's up 7% from the previous year. On a given Sunday morning, they average about right at 400 worshipers. You'll remember we sent 170 with them from our church, and the Lord has continued to grow that church in a remarkable way. They have 14 small groups, and they've had 12 baptisms, and they have 4 elders. And as Brian mentioned, they had a real milestone this morning. They broke ground for their new building. They've been meeting in a school since 2020. Well, I shouldn't say that. They met for a time in a school, very short time, and then because of COVID, they met in an archery range for way too long. And then they went back to the school. And in spite of all that, this is how the Lord has continued to grow his church. Parker Bible Church, their current home. You can see the pictures here is McCall Elementary in Aledo. And they're grateful for that. But they're also grateful for what the Lord continues to do in terms of the growth of the church. They now have 117 members. Their average morning worship is 170. And you can see the Sunday school attendance, the small groups, 8 of them. They've had baptisms. And they broke ground in September of 2025 on an 18,000-square-foot multipurpose building. And that's the plot of land. If you're familiar with that area, that loop, the Rick Williamson Memorial Highway that sort of goes north and around, this is where the plot of land is. And you can see that red area over there at the far end is where they're building, and this is what it looks like now. And actually, it's more completed than this now, but that gives you a glimpse anyway of the process. Continue to pray for that church as they continue to grow. But as I said, we are excited as well about a third DFW plant, and that is coming, Lord willing, in the DFW area in early 2028. As far as where is still undecided. What the elders do is we obviously involve the man who's going, and we overlay his desires and interests with where do we have a number of folks coming from that perhaps are coming from too far and need a more of a community church in their area, and where is there not a good like-minded church with the same philosophy of ministry, and then where is the growth happening in our area. You overlay all of those, and you come up with a potential area. So that's in process. So the question is, who exactly is going to do that? Something we've prayed about. We ask, we never force anyone to do this. It's pray about it. If you're interested, we want to support you in that. And we're very excited. It's bittersweet, to be honest, with all of the guys who go out to pastor, but we're excited that Vikram is going to to lead that church plant with Esther and his family coming up in early 2028. As I said, as far as where, that's still in process. We'll let you know as that becomes final. So lots of things to pray about, lots of exciting things in our church. You know, it is the Lord's church. And I just want you to know, from my perspective, and I share this with the elders often, I take no responsibility for what the Lord has done here. I mean that with all of my heart. The Lord knows that. And the elders don't. We just get a front row seat to watch what the Lord is doing through his word and his spirit and through the gifts he's given you as you serve and minister in this place. It is nothing but a joy for us. So thank you for your faithfulness. Let me, before I'm done, there are a couple of other things that I want to do. I want to, first of all, thank one of our elders. Every year, one of our elders serves as the chairman of the elder board. And it is an ongoing, difficult assignment. I say difficult. We're not too hard to lead, but it is a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of investment, not just running the meetings. There's a lot of things that happen outside the meetings. And so every year, one of the elders takes that on. And this year, it has been a joy to serve with Gary Amack as the chairman of the elders. And I want us, I want him to come forward, and I want us to thank him, and I have a little gift for him. Gary Amack. And I have it on good authority that you'll really enjoy that, all right? Well, it is also a joy this year for us to, for me to be working with Milt Powell. Milt and Theresa have been such a crucial part of our church family, and Milt serves as an elder, and this year he'll be serving as the chairman of the elder board. And I've asked Milt to come and finish our evening with prayer, and then after he prays, Seth and the band will come lead us in a closing song. Milt.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, church. What a joy it is to be here this evening and to witness all of this. This is like almost like a culmination of what last year was like. It's all been put together. And what a joy it is for me to be here this evening to be overwhelmed by the grace of God and what he has done and what he is doing and what we expect him to do or what he will do this coming year. So let's pray together and thank him and to seek his guidance in all of this. Our Father, we are indeed overwhelmed by all that you have done in us and through us and through this corporate body. Father, you are indeed an amazing God. And I don't know why we are so surprised all the time, because you promised through your Son to build your church. And Father, we see that on display all over the world, really. And so we just thank you and we praise you for what you are doing. And Father, we also thank you that you have allowed redeemed sinners like us to participate in the greatest work in the world today. And Father, we are so grateful. We are overwhelmed with joy and gratitude and even wonder. So we thank you and we praise you. And Father, as you're still giving time, we just pray that as we continue to move forward, that you'd give us wisdom and discernment, that we might do the right thing, because we don't always know exactly what to do. And so we are calling upon you, the all-wise God, to give us the wisdom that we need, that we might do the right thing in the best way for your greater glory. So, Father, we commend this church to you. We commend ourselves to you. And we just pray that you will continue to work in us and in this church, that we may have the opportunity to serve others, not only here, but throughout the world. So we thank you and we praise you and we commend ourselves to you again. In the name of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Milt. So many blessings from the Lord to be thankful for as we look back and look ahead. Let's stand together and we'll close in song.
Thank you. down.